There are some of us who have been knowing the word and we've had access to this stuff for 30 or 40 years and we still have not stepped into what God's purpose is for our life. Oh yeah, you got your degree and you're making good money. You got the 5-bedroom house with the 3 baths and the heated floors. Some of us, hey, we working 60 hours a week. At work, we getting the overtime, we getting the promotions, and then when we come to church, we don't have any energy left to give to any other program. We just want to sit in church silent and get out of here and go home. Sometimes you literally have to praise your way out of the basement. Do you hear what I'm saying? When you have reached a point where you're just frustrated, I've been in the mood. My wife, she'll tell you. I know she'll tell you. If you ask her, she'll tell you. And you have to get to a place where you have to focus on the things that God has done for you so that you can praise your way out of that mood that you're in. So much more to be thankful for than there is to complain about. Listen, I'm a nurse. I work in a dialysis center because before my father died, he went to do dialysis. And when I'm in here and I'm in this center, I talk to so many patients every day. And when I speak to them, I work at the VA hospital in Detroit. And so a lot of them are Vietnam era vets, and at their age and some of their experiences, they said that they looked up and they realized that they peaked in the military and their life snuck away from them. And the next thing they know, they had to go in here and sit on this machine 3 times a week. And they never achieved anything that they wanted to do. Life had got away from them that quick. Some of them had just got, you know, turned out on drugs, whatever it was that the city did to them. And they looked up and 30, 40 years of their life was gone. And I look at the life that I've lived and the things that I've had and the way that I've been able to bless others. Tragedies are commonplace. All kinds of disease, people are slipping away. Economy's down, people don't get enough pay. As for me, all I can say is thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Folks without homes are in the street. And the drug habit, some say, they just can't be. Muggers and robbers, no place seems to be safe. But you've been my protection every step of the way. Makes me wanna say, thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. 'Cause it could have been me. Outdoors, no food, and no clothes, all left alone. Without a friend or just another number with a tragic end. But you did not see fit to let none of these things be. And every day by your power, Lord, you just keep on keeping me. I want to say thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. I want to thank you for your love. That was the choir part. Thank you for your power. Thank you for protection every hour. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for your power. Thank you for protection every hour. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for your power. Thank you for protection every hour, 'cause it could have been me. Outdoors, no food, no clothes, all left alone. Without a friend or just another number with a tragic end. But you didn't see fit to let none of these things be. And every day, by your power, Lord, you just keep on keeping me. And I want to say thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to the book of Daniel before we say a word of prayer. And message is very important today. Message is very important today simply because of the times that we're living in. Young men, young women, and everybody of all ages, I want you to pay attention to a few things in this message. I'm not going to keep you long because I know that 2018, I remember when I was younger, Pastor Philip Willis Sr. was the pastor at Coney Gardens. When you went to church, it was a commitment. Nobody complained. You went to church, and my man was preaching. I used to fall asleep before when the sermon started on my mother's lap and wake up, and he was still preaching, neck sweating and everything. And everybody was loving it. Now we go to church, we like, hey man, you gotta hit that thing in 15 minutes and get on out of there. That's how they, you know what I'm saying? That's how people want you to do now. I don't know if it's the smartphones, if it's the gadgets, we just can't sit in church anymore. People wanna get home, watch the game. I don't know what it is. But you know, we back in the day, we used to go to church, it was a commitment. Then they said, we're gonna have dinner so you don't leave to make sure you come, you're here for the evening program. Now we like, we gotta get in there and get out. That's how it is in 2018. So I don't wanna keep you long, but I do want you to allow the Holy Spirit to be here today, if that's all right. And so in Daniel, in the first chapter of the book of Daniel, there's something very important. And these brothers, we know these stories. And I think because we've heard these stories and we've read them so much, I think we miss a couple of things that happen in there because we focus on one or two things and then don't read through it. And I remember when I was younger, we had the Bible story book. Y'all know those, the blue ones, and then there was the little red ones that had four stories. Somebody help me with the name of those. There were four stories each book. But it was a set. Y'all know what I'm talking about, though. And there was a story. And so in this specific story, in the book of Daniel, and we want to do a little bit of reading, not just one or two verses. I'm going to tell you what I saw in those books. And so in Daniel, the first chapter, and I am reading from the New International Version. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Asphanaz, chief of his court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. That's very important. He was to teach them the language and the literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among these were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. The chief official gave them new names to Daniel, the name Belshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. Him giving them new names. This is very important. I want you to pay attention to these few points. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now, God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel, but the official told Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men of your age? The king would then have my head because of you." Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat, water to drink, then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nursed than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them in, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are your children. And this is your word. We ask that you bless both. In your name we pray. Amen. And so in Daniel, when we open up this chapter, we have to realize that there was a fight going on, and Daniel was a part of a group of people who had been captured. And so that's where we want to start, and we want to pay attention that Daniel and his friends were captive in a foreign land. And when they were captive in this foreign land, even some of the most holy and most important articles that they possessed were taken out of their temple and placed in the Babylonian temple. So the fact that they were captive and the fact that their articles had been taken and placed in the Babylonian temple was already a reason for the Babylonians to boast and say, "Yeah, God really not about anything because he let us come in here and snatch everything. We, you know, we rolling up on y'all and then y'all still here talking about God when we have you in our court." Do y'all see what I'm saying? Brothers thought they had done something by capturing these young brothers in a foreign land, and they were prisoners slash slaves in a land that was not their own. How many times are you going to say that today, Derek? I want you to pay attention, because none of us are captives or slaves in a land not our own. And we still have not touched a small percent of what these brothers did. And we're going to talk about how they did it today. And this is what I our young men and our young women to pay attention to, but then I want everybody to pay attention to it, because there are some of us who have been knowing the word and we've had access to this stuff for 30 or 40 years and we still have not stepped into what God's purpose is for our life. Oh yeah, you got your degree and you're making good money. You got the 5-bedroom house with the 3 baths and the heated floors. That's okay. Nobody said you can't have that. I believe that God wants you to look a certain. So when people say, "Well, what is it that you're doing?" I surrender to God, and this is how he blesses his people. When I was growing up, we were almost taught that you had to be broke to be. Right. Soon as you get something, the first thing people tell you, and I don't want anybody to, the first thing they go to, it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Well, if you don't have any money and your heart messed up, it's going to be hard for you to enter the kingdom too. Yeah, so we're praying and asking God to do things for us, and he said, "You right there, but your character can't handle what I want to give you." I'm going to say that, listen, character, some people just want to blow up. They're ready to blow up. And God is saying, if you blow up, you're going to blow up. And so these brothers from a very young age were raised to stay true to principle. They were taught in the home that they had to remain loyal to God, and they stayed true to their teachings, even as captives in a foreign land when their lives could have been taken away from them. And it's not the only time. If you know their story, there are several other times that they said, "We're willing to die if you're going to try to turn us against God." So some of us, hey, we working 60 hours a week. At work, we getting the overtime, we getting the promotions, and then when we come to church, we don't have any energy left to give to any other programs. We just want to sit in church silent and get out of here, go home. Thank you, God. Okay, we'll do it again next week. Listen to what I'm saying. This is some real stuff. You can tell what somebody's doing throughout the week when you're around them. Because of their character, their conversation. Now, some of us can kick it. That's a couple of things I want to touch earlier. A couple of, because we've been raised in this thing, I can spit the lingo and kick it with everybody. You know what I'm saying? Kick it. Hey, how you doing? Man, God is good, man. No complaints here, man. You know what I'm saying? He's just so amazing. But you can tell when somebody ain't. Like, I want to preach to our young men and our women that when you get into this Bible and the stuff that we're learning, that it's about your character and your salvation, not about you coming in here and putting on an act, because we were raised and the Bible and Ellen White's writings and all of that was used to create a behavior. It was a whipping stick, not something to tell us that we need to take the message, preach unto all the world so we can get off of this planet. Come and we sit hugged up with our husband or our wife on Saturday. Ain't said nothing to them on Sunday through Friday. For our young men and young women go away to our college and come back. "You ain't got married yet? I've been married for 37 years and only 2 of them been happy." But you ain't tell them that.
Not for real. We need to, today in 2018, when we preach this word, we need to teach our young people the word and tell them that as they read it, they need to develop a relationship with Christ. They need to develop a prayer relationship. They need to develop that so God can show them what he wants them to get out of that. Because what you get out of Daniel 1 is not going to be what I get out of it. So don't trust everything I'm telling you here today. Go home and read it for yourself and say, God, what did you want me to get out of that? Our young man, you're in trouble. Listen to me. Listen to me, young black man. You are in trouble in 2018. And if you don't get the favor of God, if you don't start walking in this thing, there are going to be some. They already talk about bringing like stop and frisk to, and making it nationwide. Now, I want you to pay attention. This is not just politics. This is spiritual warfare because the black man's culture is copied by everybody all across the world. Now, we're not doing anything that some of these other, just take musicians as a, if Jay-Z, and I'm using this, and some people are not going to like this, but we're going somewhere with this, and I'm telling you the importance of our young men listening to this word and getting it to you. When a rapper says a phrase, or he wears a certain article of clothing, a black rapper, when he wears something, all of a sudden, now Champion, somebody put it on Facebook the other day, back in the day, Champion was like, you know, it had dropped off, you could get Champion anywhere. Now Chance the Rapper and another dude started putting it on, and now they $60, $70 for a sweatshirt of Champion. Nobody even knew what Rockaware was. Jay-Z said, hey, this is our clothing company, Rockaware. In 5-7 years, it tripled. And he sold it for almost $900 million, something they created. When Puff Daddy said something about Ciroc, an alcoholic beverage, now everybody wants to take pictures and show that they, because the power of our culture reaches worldwide, not just here, but around the world. People want to do what we do because there's something about us that affects everybody. So why is the black man being targeted? Because if the black man gets to know Christ, Sister Willis told me, Mama Willis told me years ago when I first started speaking, she said, listen, there's been a war on the black man's head ever since Jesus died on the cross. And so the question here today with Daniel, what we want to talk about with these brothers is, what are you going to give? What are you, like, what is God requiring of you? What are you going to give to him? So I stood there long enough. Let's get back into the word. So these brothers were captive. These brothers were captive. My young men especially. And my young women too, but my young men, because my young men, pretty soon you're going to be grown men. And as grown men, everything washes from the head down, whether it be in your family, whether it be in positions. Because, and I want to tell you something, one thing that the world is, our country specifically, one thing that everybody always wants to say is racist, one thing that our country is more than it is racist is still sexist. And so to change that, it's going to be some of you, some of the young men in this room, that in your areas of expertise, it's going to be you that's going to change that. Now, this is not just about politics and getting along. This is about salvation. This is about changing some things so that we can be more empowered and move on, because right now we're so limited because we can't work together. Our churches won't even advertise somebody else's program because somebody might leave church and we want service to be, you know, so full. I can't announce that at my church because next week we want everybody here. Oh, for real, government just shut down. Our churches are shutting down because we acting like the Republicans and the Democrats over a wall and some funding right now. Now, if we say we Christians and everybody's following Christ and they're trying to do his will, then where does the confusion come in? These brothers, they got captured. They were captured, and as they were in his kingdom, they said, hey, we got a bunch of guys, and we want you all to learn our language. And in my senior year of nursing school, we went out to a reservation in Montana. And when we went out there, I saw that the Native Americans that were on the reservation, that, you know, until this point, because I'm just from the east side of Detroit, so I wasn't exposed to a whole lot until I, you know, got older and I went to the Air Force and I started seeing some things for myself. But when I got to this reservation, I used to think, oh yeah, man, a reservation, they hooked them up. Just ignorant, ain't no nothing. Until I got there and I'm like, wow, they did this is tough. Stripped their language, stripped their culture, stripped everything from them, made them become dependent on assistance, and they only gave them so much of it.
And when I went out there, they wanted to strip them from their culture and strip them from their language because that's where their power came from. And so what they tried to do with Daniel and his boys, when they rode up, the first thing they did was they tried to change their names, because in Daniel's culture, parents named their children based on the characteristics that they wanted them to have when they became older. So they said, we're going to strip your name. So we're not just going to flat out tell you that you can't do anything, but we're going to slowly strip everything from you and see if we can take your identity from God. So they changed their names immediately. And we'll see if we can take step by step, change your identity, change your behavior. Then they said, next, we're going to get you out here training. We want you to learn all of these classes, learn about our culture, learn our languages. And they said, we want you to eat our food. And some people always go, when they see this, the first thing they do is they go to the health message. And they think that's what it was. Because in the book, they had this big, fat, nasty pig with an apple in his mouth. Do you remember that one? So somebody remember. And then the guys are just standing there looking, and the pig is just sitting there, and it's just looking nasty, apple in his mouth. And everything on the table, it just looked bad, you know. And then they showed them over there, and they're like, we don't want to eat that. And they like, just give us these grains. And you know what I'm saying? But they made the meal look nasty. They had the way they put the cups over there and everything, they made it like, if you drink that, man, that may be the last drink you have for the rest of your life. But in the Babylonian culture, at these feasts, what we're missing is, when you start to study this stuff, is that the meal, it wasn't just what kind of food it was, but the meal, every meal was committed and dedicated to idols. And if Daniel and his friends had ate any of this meal, then they were taking a part in idolatry. And once they did that, it may have severed their connection. So you see, let's change your name. Let's get them to practice some of our customs. Let's get them to learn our language. And in 2018, that's the same thing that's happening with our young men. Why is it that when we're not around those that raise us or our friends that were in the church with us, when we go out here into the world, why is it that we put more effort into trying to emulate them than they do trying to be like us? And the reason why this is so important for our young men is because the world does not have, but they need and they desire. They just don't know that they need and desire what you have. Now, if you lived according to the principles that were instilled in you, when you go out here into this world, when you're out here, when you're on the block, when you're chilling, you're at work, when you go away to school, whether no matter where it is, and you just stood true to the principles that were instilled in you, people are going to see it. And I guarantee you people are going to, because they're going through some things. Some people that are, and I tell this story all the time because my boy's on the block. I grew up 48205, east side Detroit. When I was in the Air Force and I was in Iraq, they told me, and I was like sliding down in my chair because I'm like, wait a minute, I'm halfway across the world and they mentioned my neighborhood. Well, you know, in Detroit, 48205 is one of the most dangerous areas in the world. You're safer over here in the middle of the war in Iraq than you are in that area. And I'm like, wait a minute. Hey, did he just say my zip code? So in my area, everybody grew up wanting to get high, wanting to drink, no matter what it was. Some of them didn't just, you know, not that it's okay to smoke weed, but some of them stopped at just smoking weed. Some of them went and they did some other stuff, and a couple of them aren't right now. I see one of my friends, I see him now, and when I see him, he's always telling me, hey, man, you going this way? And I'll be going right that way, but I'm like, I got my daughter in the car. No, man, actually, I'm about to go west. Right. No, you ain't getting, I don't know who looking for you. Right. You looking like you might try to rob me. But when we talk, he'll ask me questions, and I can tell that when I start talking to him, something changes. Some of you have heard me say before, when my friends are outside at night, and we used to hang out all the time at night out in on my mother's street where I grew up, and some of them would be out there, and they would just roll up the blunt, and they smoking, passing the bottle around, some of them just almost out of it. And it never fails that one of them will say something. And some of you heard the story. As soon as they say, well, Derek, you know, I wanted to ask you about, you know, somebody they know go to church, they think you are the authority on everything. You know what I'm saying? When you're around people who didn't, you know, you are it. You know what I'm saying? Just like, no matter what you do, they like, well, man, I wanted to ask you about. I'm like, I don't even know about that specific religion. You ask me about something I have no knowledge of. But they'll ask a question. And when everybody's drunk and they're high, and I start talking about God because they asked the question, that's not what I'm saying, and I'm not making this up, and this has happened time after time. Dude, take the cap, put it on the Crown Royal bottle. take the blunt, scrape it out on the ground. Dudes sit up looking like they almost sober up immediately because they're craving what we have and they don't know it yet. They were created to desire God, but we have to give it to them, and we have failed because we have not stood true to duty like we should have. We're too busy trying to look like them when we have what they need. So these brothers, they tried to give them the food. They looked at it and said, we don't want to do that because it is not in line with the principles that we have been taught from childhood. It's a part of idolatry. I would rather, they tell the guy, they say, if you go tell the king, he's scared. Man, I don't know if I want to go ask. He's trying to get my head chopped off, man. He said, eat this food. You need to eat this food. Didn't know who he was dealing with. These brothers were connected. These brothers were connected. So then he said, okay, I'll do it. We'll try to give you your food. And they denied it. Now listen, this is not a health message. This is about self-denial. They could have easily said in the king's court that, listen, if we don't do this, we're going to die. So God, you have us here on a mission, and this may be the best way to do it. No, they said, listen, we're willing to stand in the hole, and whatever happens has to happen. So just test us for 10 days in a foreign land. Some of these guys were from there needing to learn the language, just trying to increase their own language. Tested it for 10 days. 10 days they came back. Dudes out there looking like all they did was jailhouse push-ups. Dude just, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I don't get it. Dude just looking like we look better than everybody. We're elevated. From that point, listen to what I'm saying because this is very important. From that point, they practiced and they trained for 3 years. And at the end of the 3 years, the word tells us that they were elevated over everyone in the land, even the natives. Amen. Listen, favor's not fair. When somebody, my mother, this people, somebody asked about this shirt today. When I got married, had my daughter, some of you heard this story, went to the Air Force and my wife left me. My daughter's 2 or 3 years old. I was gone. Before that point, I was always saying, listen to what I'm saying. Before that point, I was always that guy that when I would see somebody that committed suicide, that's stupid, man. Nobody committed suicide. There ain't nothing worth that. But then something had been stripped away from me. And I was raised in the Adventist church where divorce was almost like, you might as well go jump off a bridge or play in traffic anyway because the way people gonna talk about you. No, for real, divorce was like, that's it. You get a divorce, you a failure. And I'm in the Air Force in Oklahoma, I didn't even want to come back to Detroit. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Wait a minute, you got a divorce? You got a kid and you got a divorce? They may not let you sing in the choir no more. You're going straight to hell. And so because it had been stripped away from me, I'm going somewhere with this, and I'm going to get back to Daniel, and I'm going to sit down. Because of that, everything had been taken. I was away from home, away from my real friends. I remember I had started going to the gun range, and I was shooting. And I was like, man, I wonder if I could do this. And so I would empty it, and I would just cock it. I would get on my knees, just cock it, and then just put it to my head and pull it to see if I could do it, just to hear the click. Oh, it's messed up. My boy, some of y'all know Justin Davis. Justin, that's why people are like, yeah, man, y'all been friends. No, that's my brother. Talked to him, broke down on the phone. Justin walked off his job that day and bought a ticket, flew from Berrien Springs, Michigan down to Oklahoma, came to my base. I sat there, I cried in his chest like a little baby. Two grown men, I'm sitting there just like, man, just give me a hug. He helped me. We talking. My mother called. My mother said, Derek, when you were born, some of y'all know the breakdown of my family. So those of you that don't, I'll tell you. I'm the youngest of five. I tell the story everywhere I go because it goes with the shirt and it goes with the message. I'm the youngest of five. My sister came. Then my brother was 1 year behind her. And then my sister was a year behind her. And then my brother was a year behind her. So that's four. Now, 7 years later. Now, usually in that situation, there's some kind of oops or some kind of mistake happening, right? And so I began before my father that I talked to my mother and I talked to because my mother told me a story when I was going through what I was going through. She called me. She said, when I was pregnant with you, we were done having kids.
And she said, I remember about three, four months, I fell on my knees in the kitchen floor, and I just said, I don't know what was going on. She said, I remember putting my hand on my belly, and I asked God, I said, with this one, God, do something special with this one. I'm going to give this one to you, because I don't know why I'm pregnant, why we do, you know. She said, I want to give this one to you. Do something special with them. And she didn't tell me this until I was contemplating suicide. She told me, she said, Derek, when you go places and you speak, she said, people respond to something different that I see with your friends around you. She said, when you preach, it's something different that happens. And she was like, and I really think it's because I dedicated you and anointed you in my belly before you were born. And she said, and I'm telling you right now that your purpose is greater than the circumstance that you find yourself in right now. So then I asked my father, I asked my sister, so now what happened, man, when y'all found out you was pregnant? He said, well, I went home and I threw the chair down and the leg broke off and everything because I said, how in the world are we having a baby at 7? And so my mother told me that and I said, dear, you got to get back in your game because God, you turned away and you stopped using your gift. And at the moment that you turned away and you stopped using your gift, that's when life changed. I said, I was praying, why you letting my marriage fall? You said, don't let take apart what you put together. And God set me down in the corner and looked me right in the face and said, son, I didn't put that together. When you were praying about that thing, I never told you that was the way you were supposed to go. I'm trying to use scripture on God, and he like, you should have listened to me when you prayed and nothing was going the way it was supposed to go when you tried to do it. And then you turn away and you stop using your gift. And when you stop using that, it led you down a path that, how did I end up overseas in the middle of Iraq? I'm like, I could have stayed in Detroit to get shot at. I'm not used to bombs coming out the sky. Usually I can just go in the basement and be like, okay, it's cool if they out there shooting. And you ain't have no choice over there. People calling me, man, when you gonna get back into speaking, man? Last time I heard you, A, B, and C, one of my friends married another one of my friends and said, I didn't even want to join the church until I heard you. I'm like, wait a minute, God, that's bigger than me. Listen to me, young man. There's something that God gave you. And he said, I want your character to be fully committed to me because there are people that are waiting for you to walk in your purpose so that they can be saved. Amen. I'll say it again. There are people that need to hear from, there's somebody that need to hear this story from me. They can't hear it from anybody else. Somebody in here today needed to hear this from me and nobody else. And God is saying, that's why I needed you to stay true to principle and get back to your gift. And if you stay committed to me and you dedicate and you try to be closer to me and let me develop your character, your gift will supersede anybody else that's around you. Ms. Bone, seventh grade English teacher, used to tell me, you talk too much. Now that's all I do. I didn't even realize that it was something being developed. I was getting in trouble with my mother, and now that's all I do. Derek, can you come talk? So not only did these brothers in the captive land supersede everybody in that land, but they were elevated to a position of power in a foreign land. Now you know that's going to bring some haters. Listen to the rest of the story. When they get to the point that the king is tripping like, yo, I had a bad dream last night. He didn't just eat something late. He didn't eat that pig off of that table with the apple in his mouth and just end up having a bad dream like some of us do. God gave him a dream, and when he woke up, he made him forget it. Now go get these dudes out here that's supposed to be deep and tell them to come tell me my dream. Y'all know the story. Go get these fellas that's supposed to be deep. And the guys come in, and they looking at the king like, wait a minute. You want us to tell you what you dreamed and then interpret it? Well, King, if you can tell us what the dream was, then maybe we can figure something out. Like, I'm about to kill you and I'm gonna burn your house. Ain't that what he said? If you can't tell me the dream, because y'all, all this time, I just realized y'all been flaking it on me. Y'all not that deep. So all the wise men, everybody out here, I'm about to kill y'all and I'm gonna burn your houses down. And so it's like, all right, we about to go kill them. They knock on the door. Dang, hey, Daniel, where y'all at? I'm like, wait a minute, we about to die for what? Tell them, give me a little extension on that, man. Daniel goes with his boys. They pray to the God that they've served all this time. They pray to the God that they've stayed true to all of this time. And then the mission, after they went through captivity and they were stuck in prison, then God said, now that I have developed the character in you that I needed to develop, now it's time for me to elevate you. Yeah. Now it's time for me to elevate. God, why? What can we do with this dream? Then Daniel walked in there with full confidence to the king. But the first thing he does, like he didn't even go in there like he was deep. He walked in there and said, listen, I'm going to tell you your dream. But it's not because I'm deeper than the rest of them, so don't kill them. Like he went to bat for everybody else. Don't kill them because it's not that I'm better than them. It's just that I don't serve your idols. I serve the God in heaven who can definitely tell me what your dream is about, and then I can interpret it to you. That's how God, now it's time for me to elevate you. God is like, I have trusted you this far and you stayed true. Now it's time for me to elevate you. People are always talking about why they broke. Because when you had 20, you spent all 20 on something that you didn't give 5 to somebody who was in need. How come I can't never get over that edge? And every time I get my check, it's gone. Because you blew the whole check on something that had nothing to do with the kingdom of God. If he can trust you with 20 to bless somebody, and you can put me to the test. If you get something and you figure out a way to bless people, I'm guaranteeing you God is going to come back on that investment and be like, Leah, now that I can trust you to bless somebody, I'm going to give you more because now you can bless more people because everybody won't do that. So now they've stayed true to principle. I can see that they'll stick with me through hard times and trial. Listen to me, young man. I can see they'll stick with me, so I'm going to elevate them. Man went in there. He was like, man, let me tell you about your dream. This is what it is. This is what it means. And the king is like, oh, you definitely serve a God greater than what I've known to this point. Now let's move forward, because after he elevated them and put them over the whole king, now you know there's going to be some haters. So listen to what you know when they had to come and get them, and then they tried to put them in the... Because there's going to be some people that's going to try to snatch you down. And the crazy part, people, is it won't be Pookie and Ray on the block. It's going to be Elder so-and-so. Nah, it ain't going to be Lil John. You know what I'm saying? And Bookie. They going to get behind you and they going to love what you're doing because they're attracted to the Christ that they see in you. It's going to be one of your boys that went to Sabbath school and went to Peterson with you for 20 years. Went down to Oakwood with you, everything. They was with you the whole time, and as soon as they see your success, they're mad, and they're going to start trying to, he ain't nothing. I remember back when. But guess what God does? Listen to me. Guess what God does when you anoint, when you allow him to give you an anointing and you use your gift? Let's throw these dudes got to go in the furnace. Now, everybody focus on the furnace and be like, but when they was about to throw him in the furnace after that incident, check out what they said. He said, listen, I'm sure that God will deliver us, but even if he doesn't. Even if he doesn't, just I'm not going to disrespect him. So they throw the dudes in there, and people are like, oh, that was deep in the furnace. What was deep to me is that when they increased the heat of the furnace, dudes couldn't even get close to it when they were trying to throw him in there. So the very people who were hating on him end up dying by the fire of the furnace. Do y'all see where I'm going with this? So those people, don't worry about what people going to say about you. You worry about what God going to say about you. God has been so consistent. He told the disciples, if you tell people about me, I will tell my Father in heaven about you. I don't care what you tell anybody about me. If Jesus himself is telling the Father in heaven about me, you can't beat that. Talking about a reference or a resume. Ain't nothing better than that. Oh, we got to throw him. Listen, he up there praying. We got to throw him in the lion's den. They keep trying this dude. I would have left him alone. It's like the karate movies when somebody come up and Bruce Lee beat down 15 guys. I'm like, after the first 15, I would have been like, y'all got to go get somebody else. We got to get some guns in here or something. I'm not messing with, he done beat 15. Now, people keep messing with Daniel. And I'm like, you haven't learned your lesson. So then the very guys that set up the trap to get him thrown in the, and he down there with the lion like, here, kitty, kitty. God troubled my man. He couldn't even sleep to where he woke up. He said, go get Daniel out of there. And the very guys, Elder so-and-so, Mrs. This, I was in church with you, got thrown down there into the lion's den. And see, when God does it, he like, God, I've noticed that when God said vengeance is mine, he really meant that because he killed an ant with a sledgehammer, for real. Like, dudes didn't even get tossed in the furnace before they burned up. We're told that when these guys got thrown into the lion's den, they didn't even hit the ground. You know what I'm saying? Like, they didn't even hit the... I'm saying, when we read this, where are we missing the point that if we stay fully committed to God, and I'm talking about in every area of our lives, We have learned to live compartmentalized lives, and that's why we're stuck where we are. And when you live a compartmentalized life, it's very hard and nothing works out. Your life in the world or your Christian life, neither one of them works out when you're living into, because the you at work does not know the you at church. Listen to me, young men, I don't want you to get into that. I don't want you to get into that pattern. I do not want you to get into that pattern because God can't work with that. He's going to have to break you down. It's going to be very painful if you get into that. Let me put on this act at church and I'm out here. And when I'm with them, I'm doing one thing or another. How do I know that? Because I've lived it. I'm not speaking to you from a book. I'm telling you about my life. So what's your gift? What is it? What is it that is being offered to you that you have to deny in order for God to say, now I see that no matter what situation I put you in, I can trust you with the amount of blessings and the amount of gifts that I've given. Now I can take it and I can elevate it because somebody is waiting to hear from you.
Amen.
These brothers got elevated to run a foreign land. Prisoners. Elevated over everybody that were native, everybody was, because they simply stayed true. They denied themselves some of the pleasures and said, we'd rather die than enjoy these pleasures. And when they were tested at other areas of their life, which all of us will, they stood true. They did not compromise at all. So for my young men and my grown men, my young women and my grown women, somebody in here, hey, you 40, 50, 60, and you like, I still have not found out what my gift. No, youth day message don't just be for the youth. I'm gonna tell you that right now. I can see it on some of y'all faces. Y'all like, ooh. Why are you so, and I'm about to sit down, why are you so passionate about this? Because again, I'm not telling you something. I got out of the Air Force and I went to nursing school and I got the degree because I wanted to complete something. I tell my wife this all the time. I tell people, I wanted to complete something. God said, I never told you that you were supposed to be a nurse, but I'll let you have that. So you can feel good about yourself and get that degree because you were raised in the Adventist church and that degree is gold when you at. Some of y'all here not Adventist, so y'all might not understand what I'm saying, but that degree, that's a big deal. You don't get that degree, boy, you less than, you got to sit in the back of the church when you come in. And I was getting a little older. All my friends have it, Peterson alumni. So what y'all doing now? Oh, man, you know I'm working at so-and-so, just finished my master's. I'm like, hey, let's go to the bathroom real quick, man. Y'all know how it is. That pressure, that it's on you, it's on your head. That's a good thing with us if we do it correctly. We do place a premium on education. There's nothing wrong with that. But the premium that we place on it sometimes is at the risk of alienation, isolation. So I did that, and God said, I'll give that to you because that's something that is going to work for you, and it gives you the courage because of the degree of difficulty of nursing school, but that's not where I want you. You can never stop using this gift because I had this assigned to you before you were born. When your mother touched it, I made an agreement with her on your life. You didn't have anything to do with this. Just walk in it. And so we need to find our place. Because the Inspired Pen tells us if we had done what we were supposed to do, God would have come and we'd be in heaven already. It don't take God no 3 years to get you together. It don't take God 10 years to do. That's you. People are like, I'm a friend. I've been asking God to do this and do that for me. And he's like, and they always focus on, well, he said, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and they forget if they turn away from their wicked ways. Y'all cut that scripture short so many times. If my people will call by my name, will humble themselves, pray, and then it stops right there. I'm like, well, what's the rest of it? Does that mean if I just humble and pray that I'm good? We don't focus on that, but turn from their wicked ways. Young men, young women, there's some things, there's some issues in your life. There's some secrets. There are some things that you have to deny yourself right now. And God is saying, if you don't, you'll look up here. 20 years will get away from you and your life will be unfulfilling. No happiness. Don't happen. You might get something, go back. So I tell the story all the time about, I remember when I was just ignorant not too long ago, and I used to, you know, want to come to church. Because when we come through, a lot of us try to keep up with everybody else in church, and we want to show, you know, because of that degree, there's things that material-wise, and there's nothing wrong with having nice things, but sometimes we do a little too much. There's some programs that need some funding, but we trying to get the Louis and the Gucci, and you know, like, it takes us about 6 checks to get it, and we don't have nothing in the bank. Now listen to me, because I did it. I went and bought me a little, because everybody else was doing it, so I went and bought me a little Burberry bag, right, thinking it was going to be deep. I was like, get the little Burberry crossbars. First time I wore it, that's nice. The next time, it wasn't nothing exciting, but I was like, wait a minute, you going to say something about this bag, man. You didn't see that? On some jeans, on my jeans, and start rubbing off the color of the jeans. They said, you can't wear it, you can't get it wet, you can't. I said, well, what am I supposed to do with it? All this money. We caught up, we focused on the wrong stuff. Focused on the wrong thing. It's in my basement now, in the little bag that it came in. Over the past 4 or 5 years, I can count on my hands the amount of times that I was like, everybody thinking about that. That ain't gonna do nothing for the kingdom. Like when you go to bed at night, then ask yourself, what have I done for the kingdom of God today? What have I done with my gift? What have I committed to him today? So there's something that you need to deny. There's a secret area in your life. Nobody else knows about it. It's at home. It's at work. It's when you're alone. Nobody sees it. It's in your heart. There's something that's going on in your life right now. You're like, it's keeping me from experiencing what God wants for my life. In the same way these guys denied themselves, you have to make a decision today. God, I want you to take this away from me. If you find something that's not like you, no matter how painful, they were prisoners. No matter what it is, take it away from me. And help me to make the most of the gift that you gave me and not waste another day because people are suffering because I'm outside of where I'm supposed to be. Nobody can touch you when you get to that place. Nobody can touch you when you get to that place. Will you make that decision? Thank you.